Universität Hamburg.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity again to speak at this great session. For my talk today, I'd like to remind everyone quickly who QLogic is and what QLogic's role is in HPC, and then provide at least one perspective on how InfiniBand came to what it is in HPC today, and also, I think, what it needs to do in order to remain relevant as we move on the path to exascale. So to begin with, let me just talk a little bit about who QLogic is. We're a company of 1,200 employees. It's a worldwide organization headquartered in Aliso Viejo, California, which is just a little south of Los Angeles. We're a financially strong company. We've had revenues in our last fiscal year of nearly $600 million. And it's really got three major focus areas, all in the networking domain. We're very focused on high-performance networking. Our legacy is in storage area networking, specifically fiber channel SANs. However, since then, we've grown into data networking and fiber channel over Ethernet technology, but also in server area networking. And to that end, QLogic acquired a couple of companies in 2006 that were focused on InfiniBand. And that's how we got into the HPC space. Today, 5 years later, we have a complete end-to-end solution for high-performance computing networks based on InfiniBand. We market this technology as TruScale, and so our TruScale interconnect is our InfiniBand interconnect for high-performance computing clusters. One of the most significant things to point out is that we have our own ASICs for the InfiniBand interconnect today, both for the host channel adapter side as well as the switching infrastructure side. And from those ASICs, we're able to build very many things. We build the adapters that are required, whether they be standard PCI cards, PCI Express cards, whether they be mezzanine cards for the various OEM form factors. We also build a complete set of switching systems out of our switch ASICs, anywhere from small edge switches all the way up to the largest director systems in the industry today, up to 864 ports. And we bring together with that the software, both host software. We basically work with the community on the Open Fabric Alliance, and then harden this software through the OFED process, or Open Fabric's Enterprise Distribution and Management software as well, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And then we also even offer cables, so if you could get a complete end-to-end solution from QLogic. Our very unique capabilities have been validated recently. For any of you who have heard our talks at Supercomputing 10 in New Orleans, we're very excited to announce a very recent win there at Lawrence Livermore National Labs. And the lab gave a talk at our booth there, and this was the final slide that they presented, which we're very excited about, because they had just done a procurement of 4,000 nodes split across four different clusters, and they had just done some of their early testing, and their conclusions were on this slide, and they said, number one, this fabric provided the best scalability on any system they had ever seen. And so that's one of our targets, is to ensure you have the best scalability, and we achieved that in this case. They also said that the latency was the best they had ever seen. So across 23,000 cores in their largest system, they were seeing latencies in the 1 to 2 microsecond range, which was very shocking to them because they had never seen latency remain that low across that many cores. They also have multiphysics codes that rely on short messages and lots of them, so they require a large message injection rate. And they were achieving 30 million messages per second of message injection rate. And then because of this, they were seeing the best collector performance they had seen as well. And so they were very, very pleased with that. And that was last November. And so because of that, there was a follow-up procurement called the TLCC2 bid, Tri-Labs Capability Cluster 2, in which there was up to 20,000 nodes being bid across a couple of quarters. And they break these procurements up into what they call scalable units, which are islands of about 150 servers. And it was a very, very intense competition for for the interconnect on this bid, because this is most likely the largest procurement in North America this year. And so they looked at all the alternatives very carefully, and in the end, because of the great performance that they saw in the benchmarking that they did, again selected the QLogic TrueScale Interconnect for this procurement. So I think this validates quite strongly the value proposition that we bring. So where is InfiniBand today? Well, InfiniBand today on the top 500, and I'm sure everybody's probably very tired of hearing about the top 500 and being sliced and diced a lot of different ways, but I'll just give you a quick perspective here. In terms of the number of systems on the top 500, InfiniBand actually went down 1% on the total. This is, I think, primarily due to significant new proprietary technology at the top end, as well as a little bit of waiting for next generation processor technology on the lower end. But nonetheless, you can see that it's a significant percentage of not only the number of systems, but also the total performance on the top 500. It's actually hovering around 39% of the total performance, and so extremely relevant. So the question is, how did it go from essentially nowhere in 2000 to 40% of the performance on the top 500 today? And you know, it started out with really excellent bandwidth and latency. InfiniBand wasn't really targeting high-performance computing, if the truth be known, back in the 2000 timeframe. It was really looking at the enterprise data center. And so the architecture was really built that way. The spec was written that way. But it had great bandwidth and great latency. And because of that, was able to displace some of the existing proprietary interconnects because there's a community around it. We've added to that significantly an important capability in host interfacing, which we call PSM, or performance-scaled messaging, which gives a very different way of interfacing high-performance hosts into the high-performance computing network. And this gives us a connectionless, stateless approach, which scales far better than the traditional approaches that we've seen. So where are we going in the future, though? I mean, InfiniBand wasn't really designed for HPC. We've done a lot of extensions to make it relevant so far. Can we continue this trend? Well, I'm happy to say that in the short run, there are two new bandwidths that have been defined by the InfiniBand Trade Association, FDR and EDR. And so what you're going to find is that on the host side, an FDR link will actually have double the bandwidth of a current QDR link using a new PCIe Gen 3 bus. And we go to EDR technology, however, you're going to see almost a 4x bandwidth increase on a PCIe Gen 3x16 bus. And so you can see that coming very shortly, within the next 18 months, you will probably have both of these technologies available in the marketplace at different cost points. And so we're continuing to push the envelope on bandwidth. Well, what about latency? Well, today, latency on an InfiniBand network is extremely low. You can actually measure using a pretty simple benchmark. It's a 1 microsecond latency between two nodes. And there's not a whole lot going on that we can reduce, but we are getting some benefits from the CPU vendors, for example. Everyone's probably aware that Intel Sandy Bridge actually integrates the PCI bridge directly into the chip, and that saves about 10% of the latency that we're seeing. They also have technology called cache injection, which we can utilize to eliminate a DRAM access, and that's another 10%. And so we're going to see pretty significant reduction of at least 20% in the CPU side of things. On the fabric side, which we can control, we're going to see dramatically reduced latency on our switch hops. And I think that there's an important point here, and that is if you want to have low latency in your adapters and in your switches, you need a laser focus on the HPC market and make sure that you don't have anything unnecessary in there, because that will add latency to your solution. Message rate, because of our unique implementation, we're already seeing 30 million messages per second, as I mentioned. I think that what we're going to see going forward is an easy doubling of that in our architecture, because to us, it's really just a better PCI bus and a higher frequency. Collective performance is another really important one in many HPC applications. And because of the hardware barrier that we'll be putting in, the hardware spanning tree that we'll be putting in, we expect that our barrier latency will drop from 50 microseconds today down to only just under 8, with about 1/8 the number of total messages in the network. And the final point to make is that the programming models for beyond where we are today, moving to exascale, are really important to understand. It's extremely challenging to program an MPI at multi-petaflop scale, and to imagine doing that at exaflop scale is extremely hard to believe. And so there are very many new programming models, most of them based on a shared memory paradigm, that can help a lot. And so the interconnect needs to continue to support that these new trends. And of course, power is top of mind on everybody's list for next generation, and so having a laser focus on it is really important. And so in summary, I think HPC or InfiniBand became important in HPC primarily due to its advantages in bandwidth and latency a long time ago. We've added a lot to it to continue to make it relevant. But if we want to make it important on the journey to exascale, we need to continue those improvements in the speeds and feeds, but also keep pace with the new programming models and power profiles that are required to get there. So a little bit over, but with that, I'll...
Thanks, Phil. First, Inquisitor Estita Kranzelmüller.
Well, thank you, Phil, for this presentation. I was wondering, your competition has always used the term smart offloading technology. Is that copyrighted, or are you doing this as well, or...
I didn't understand the first word of, but I understand that our competition talks about offloading significantly. And if the truth be known, that is really a significant difference in approach between a QLogic solution and our competitor's solution. Back when InfiniBand was being defined as a data center interconnect, frankly, rather than HPC interconnect, the target market was replacing the PCIX bus and replacing Ethernet and fiber channel maybe as a unified interconnect in the data center. And so the target was maybe to do a million IOPS rather than tens of millions of messages per second. And so architectures were put in place to handle that. And also keep in mind that in those days, a server was typically a 1 gigahertz Pentium. And so it made a lot of sense to believe that you could offload from that Pentium some significant processing. But you also got to be really careful when you do that, because in the ensuing decade, the server nodes themselves have gotten significantly more powerful. Instead of having a single core 1 gigahertz Pentium, we moved to 8-way Sandy Bridge technology, maybe 16 in a server. So the servers went from very small to hugely powerful, whereas these little microsequencers have a hard time keeping up. So at QLogic, what we recognized the trend of the servers getting more and more powerful, certainly knew that we didn't want to get in the way of these very, very powerful servers. And so we struck the perfect balance between what's being run on the servers and what's being run in the interconnect. And I think the proof points that I mentioned earlier, specifically at Lawrence Livermore National Lab and then at the Tri-Labs follow-up, validate this approach.
Jack Dungara.
Okay, thanks, Phil, for the presentation. I'm just having a hard time realizing an exascale system in 2018 having InfiniBand interconnect. So that's really what you're telling us, that you would project the exascale machine to be functional with that InfiniBand interconnect.
Jack, yeah, I think that's it's very possible that we can do that. You know, one of the things I think that we all have to, agree on is that it's taken, literally a decade and more than a couple $100 million to get the InfiniBand interconnect where it is today. Is it perfect? No, because it has in the protocol some excess baggage that's not really necessary for high-performance computing due to its roots. But when you start to think about, what are the key challenges? Number one is, of course, power, and everybody understands that. And if the truth be known, I think that most interconnects are converging to the same physical layer anyway. And so you're going to see all the interconnects are going to have the same fiber optic interconnect at that point in time. From a protocol point of view, I think the extensions that we've made with PSM so far have shown dramatically that we can improve MPI performance to a level that's not been seen before. And we've also done significant work with one of our OEM partners in single-sided communication. So far, we've done a great SHMEM implementation and have shown that also is extremely scalable. And this, by the way, is without any specific hardware support in the adapter. And so, you know, based on those kinds of results, the fact that the physical layers are going to converge anyway, and the fact that we have excellent support already for MPI and SMEM, make me feel that we can, in fact, continue this trend and support exascale in the 2018 to 2020 timeframe.
Thanks again, Phil.